Committee meeting to order. It's September 29th, 2020. The time is 10:45. Agenda number one is complete. Number two, roll call. Clerk, would you please do the roll call?
Congressman Keane?
Present.
Congressman Bickhorst?
Present.
Congressman Walker?
Here.
Congresswoman Shaw?
Present.
Congresswoman Lennon?
Present.
Congresswoman Rebar?
Present. Okay, we have a quorum. The next item on the agenda is prayer. Congresswoman Lemon, could you please render a prayer?
I'd be glad to, Second Speaker. If you'll please bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today, humble servants on bended knee. We ask that you help us do as you would do. Be as good as you are through us, and that we can have that voice come out in our deliberations today. I ask that you lay a healing hand and wrap your wings around our speaker and her daughter and her family, that they may have the strength and today and be free of illness and worry. I ask that you look over all of humankind. We're all in this together, and we want to do your work and your will to the best of our abilities. I ask that you feed anyone who is hungry and quiet any child's pain and hurt. We thank you for allowing us to have a beautiful fall day. And we thank you for the many blessings, for allowing us to continue to have our elders here so that we may continue to garner knowledge from them. We ask you to forgive us for our sins. In your son's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Congresswoman. The next item on our agenda is approval of minutes. The minutes were attached to your calendar invite.
Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Under prayer, it said prayer was given by Congressman Goodfox.
Okay, thank you.
Second Speaker.
Yes, sir.
Motion to amend near the bottom of page 3. Did that capture all of my amendments?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, I believe it did.
Okay. Second speaker.
Yes, sir.
Right above adjournment, motion to postpone, it says Congresswoman, but it doesn't list the Congresswoman. Made a motion to postpone.
Yes, I think that was Congresswoman Brandy Lemon.
You are correct.
Motion to approve the amended minutes.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes. The next item on our agenda is item number 5, an appropriation overview from the budget analyst, Jordan Fraser. Go ahead, Jordan.
Good morning. Okay, I'll go over the amendments that were made to ONCA 2076 first. 5 budgets were inserted yesterday. The meat processing plant budget was inserted, and that was a $1,610,940 increase to the appropriation. 4 board budgets were also inserted. The Home Health Board, ONES, Osage LLC, and the Osage Foundation Board. Combined, that was a $277,303 increase. Tribal Development's budget was increased by $62,460. And the Higher Education Scholarship Fund appropriation was reduced by $1 million. Combined, yesterday's amendments to ONCA 2076 resulted in a $950,703 increase to the total amount set to be appropriated in the bill. If appropriations to the villages, minerals council, and the 3 branches were to pass as they currently stand, $1,415,237 of projected revenue would remain unappropriated. One more amendment was made yesterday to, and this one was to ONCA 2082, so it was an IDC budget, not affecting the regular tribal budgets. That was to IDC compliance. It was reduced by $70,413. At this time, I'm unaware of any requests for amendments from any of the branches of government. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan. Are there any questions from the committee to Jordan? Okay, if not, we're going to move on to item number six, ONCA 2080, and act to amend the budget act.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Congresswoman Shaw had some technical difficulties. Here she is.
Thank you. I just had a question for Jordan. If he could please just repeat the amount remaining to be appropriated. I missed the last few numbers.
Yes, ma'am. If, as I said, if the appropriations to the villages, Minerals Council, and three branches were to pass as they currently stand, $1,415,237 of projected revenue would remain unappropriated.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's move on to ONCA 2080. It's an act to amend the Budget Process Act by inserting a new section that would allow the 45% limitation on the three largest benefits. This is sponsored by Congresswoman Stabler. I believe Congresswoman Stabler has talked about her bill for some time now, and so I'm just asking the committee to have any comments so that we can decide what we'd like to do.
Second Speaker, this is Brandy.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Second Speaker. Well, I'm not ready to move on this particular piece of legislation as far as moving it out of committee just yet. I would like to continue further deliberations, even if it takes us into the interim. Congresswoman Stabler has presented a lot of great ideas. The particular piece of legislation that you have sponsored for the health benefit fund for an open enrollment period is another, you know, piece that helps us to be able to manage the benefit in a better way. That we are able to, you know, see exactly how many people are going to utilize the benefit. So, and then of course, Congresswoman Stabler has some other legislation out there that would also help to manage it. And so to me, this is just another piece of legislation that does look at how we can manage some of our programs. And I'm not against it, but I'm just not there yet 100%. And so I would just like to consider, you know, continuing discussions on it. And it doesn't have to necessarily be today because we are against a deadline. But I do think it's worthy of further discussion. Thank you.
Okay, any other committee comments? Okay, if not, the chair would entertain a motion to postpone ONCA 2080.
Second.
So moved. To the call of the chair.
So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Okay, ONCA 2080 will be postponed. The next item on the agenda is ONCA 2084, an act to repeal the Regional Gathering Fund. The sponsor is Congresswoman Pratt, and I believe we've heard her comments regarding her bill. Is there any discussion from the committee at this time? Okay, if not, my comments as the chairs, I believe we're waiting on additional information, data to review with regards to the cost of the nation to attend the regional gathering, the regional gatherings and attendance records and things of that nature. So if the committee would agree, I would make a motion to postpone.
Second.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say yes.
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 ONCA 20-84 is now postponed. Item number 8, ONCA 2882. It's an act to authorize the IDC departments and tribal works. The sponsor is Congressman Walker. And as discussed yesterday, I believe this bill is pending action from the other big bills. As you know, yesterday we amended to include the amendments to the IDC compliance budget. So at this time, I'd like to make a motion to postpone.
Chairwoman.
Go ahead, Congressman Walker.
Are you wanting to postpone to a meeting tomorrow as a next day, or are you wanting to table it and let this follow 2076?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I apologize. Yes, I need to table it. Thank you.
Motion to table ONCA 2082. To follow the chair.
Okay, there's a motion. A second. Thank you.
Discussion, please.
Discussion, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I missed that. What Congressman Walker said, it broke up on my end. Could you repeat that, Congressman Walker?
I said, don't we want to table this so it can follow ONCA 2076, which I'm under the impression we're going to try to get that bill out today.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Is there any other discussion? Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Okay, thank you. Item number 9 on the agenda is ONCA 2076, an act to provide an appropriation to the executive branch. Are there any more amendments to be made today? Seeing none, does the committee, would they like to take action?
Second speaker, this is Brandy.
Yes, ma'am.
With nobody on the committee having anything that they want to further discuss about it, then I think it would be prudent to move the bill forward as with the due pass recommendation as amended.
Second.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Second. All right, we have a motion and a second. Clark, could you do a roll call vote, please?
Congressman Bickford?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Shaw?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Congressman Keene?
Yes.
Congresswoman Raybard?
Yes. Okay, thank you. So Owens Gate 2076. We move to the floor of Congress with a due pass as a recommendation as amended. The next item on our agenda is ONCA 2046. I have a question real quick. Jordan, while we're discussing the other two items, could you help prepare, do any work on 2082 that may need to be done?
Yes, ma'am.
Or just let us at least get familiar with it enough that we could discuss.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
Do you know, I'm looking for a total reduction from all the amendments that have taken place in the other bills, if you could go that direction. Okay.
Then Madam Chair.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
I will certainly look and see how it will be affected by everything that's been done. It looks like on my amendments tracker that most of the changes have been below the line changes or things to direct assistance, or those have been where the reductions have been. but I'll double check everything and see where we're at.
Okay, thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it. The next item on our agenda is ONCA 20-46, an act to establish a plan in Osage law for replenishing the Osage Nation Permanent Fund by FY 2026, and the sponsor is Congressman Potts. Congressman Potts, can you hear me?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. ONCA 2046 is the direct result of having to tap into the permanent fund during this public health emergency that we have come across. What we saw in the spring, my apologies, was the passage of ONCA 2034, which allowed for $8.1 million to be spent out of the permanent fund for operations. So immediately, my mind started going toward how do we replenish our permanent fund. We've had it at a balance of roughly $30 million since around the time of its inception. I believe there was more in it at the very beginning, but it's hovered around that amount, and it may be the exact amount that's been in there since the beginning, or at least the exact amount. So my mind immediately began to focus on how to replenish these funds, and what I anticipated was that a $8 million blow to our main revenue source, being gaming, could be detrimental to both causes. It could deprive gaming of necessary funds that they're counting on for operations, and at the same time, it could place a strain on our ability to appropriate annual funds for the operation of government services. So I worked on a plan that appropriates $3.5 million, or at least establishes that, 3.5% of whatever projected revenue is, and dedicates that to the permanent fund. So not unlike a percentage amount of what would go to direct services, this simply allocates money from our budgetary outlay to replenish the funds that have been tapped out of the permanent fund, or that were slated to be tapped out of the permanent fund. At the end of the day, if those funds weren't utilized, then what this would result in is effectively, if there's no increase in the distribution amount, you would see $8 million added to the permanent fund, which I think is needed at this point. We've seen a need for that. We've demonstrated a need for that. We've utilized the funds at this point. So I think this would be a fiscally responsible option to take at this point. This isn't a new piece of legislation. We saw it in the spring. Congressman Big Horse had some good suggestions, because even at that time, we were unaware of the full impact for what $1 million appropriation would look like out of fiscal year 2021 projected revenue. So taking that to light, I think I extended it. Initially, I think it was 2025 is when we were going to have this replenished. So it is now 2026. And I have written in here the effective date is March 29th, 2021. So this bill will not be effective until next year, which means the requirement for what is termed the permanent fund replenishment threshold in this bill wouldn't apply until next year. So until we get the next distribution amount, we're not going to be compelled by any law to contribute to the permanent fund. So this postpones contributions for a year and puts us fulfilling that $8 million at the year 2026. And how we get there is the $46 million distribution from this year times 3.5% gets you the $1.6 million. When you multiply that by the 5 years, which gets you to your fiscal year 2026, you're looking at $8,050,000. So it, instead of a sticker shock, oh my gosh, we have to replenish this tomorrow, this commits us on a path of perpetually saving money and putting it back aside into the permanent fund so that if something ever happens again, we are slightly more prepared for some of the economic downturns. So with that, I do have one amendment that I do need to offer as cleanup on this bill in section two, but I'd be happy to entertain any questions or any discussion before I offer that amendment, which is just cleanup for a fiscal year issue. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Congressman Potts. I have a question real quick. Okay, let me try to wrap my head around this. So you're saying that for FY21, we have 46 million, and we would take that times 3.5% to get a 1.6 million for FY21?
No.
Okay, that's why I ask.
Madam Chair, this would have no impact on FY21. So the bill, the section five, the alternative effective date of this bill, does not cause it to be effective until March 29th of 2021. So next year. So this bill would have no impact on fiscal year 2021 projected revenue. However, it would trigger fiscal year 2022 that whatever the distribution amount is, let's say it's 48 million, you would multiply that by the 3.5%. That number would then become the permanent fund replenishment threshold by section two of this bill. And that number would be included in the projected revenue resolution as a budgetary outlay of something that is supposed to be contributed to the permanent fund. So we would actually be appropriating money back to the permanent fund, which I'm fairly certain we've not ever done.
Okay, thank you. That was my next question, was the budgetary outlay. So that would just be listed out kind of like, so it'd be like executive branch, judicial, legislative, minerals, the villages, and then the permanent fund. Is that correct?
Correct. And so
okay.
Section 3B is what addresses that. The amount identified in section 3A, which is its title, the permanent fund replenishment threshold, shall be considered with the budgetary outlay amounts and included in the anticipated contribution to the permanent fund by appropriation during the next immediate FEJO session of the Association Congress. So it would still be subject to an appropriation of Congress, but it would have been included in the budgetary outlay. So those funds are not budgeted through the budget planning process.
Okay, I now have just one more question. I'll open it up to the committee. So you know how I'm just learning this, as you know, Congressman Potts. So we get a letter from the gaming to set our gaming distribution prior to the fiscal year that we're getting ready to operate in. And then in January, they revisit with another letter after they've completed their audit. Would there be any adjustment? Would we be using the January letter or the one prior to when it's discussed in March?
Thank you, Madam Chair. When they revisit this in January, which I think is their current plan, there would be no revision at all to fiscal year 2021 projected revenue. This doesn't take effect until fiscal year 2022. So when they revisit this in January, we're not going to come back to the table and say, oh my gosh, now we have to replenish the permanent fund right now. We certainly could, but that's not a requirement of this law. So it will have no impact when they revisit the number in January. What I would like to point the attention to the committee to is section 4, and that's the termination of this appropriation requirement. It says all mandated appropriations of this act shall cease upon the balance of the permanent fund exceeding $30 million, less any interest revenue that accumulates in the fund. So currently the permanent fund accumulates interest on an annual basis. That remains in the permanent fund. So not counting that money, once we've exceeded $30 million, the appropriation requirement of this bill terminates. So right now, this is all based off of a $46 million distribution. If we make, let's say next year we get a $50 million distribution, optimistically, right? That's going to then put in 1.75 million instead of just the 1 million. So you're going to get to the $30 million prior to fiscal year 2026. And as soon as you hit $30 million, this appropriation requirement terminates. So if Congress were to, in January, get extra distribution dollars and appropriate it to the permanent fund, it would eliminate this appropriation requirement for fiscal year 2022. And again,
thank you, because I really thought I wasn't. I'm sorry. I should have said I was thinking February 22, we would get the letter prior to, then in January of 23, if they amended it and we received more, we could still have the ability to fund the permanent fund with that increased, wouldn't you believe?
We can appropriate money to the permanent fund at any time, yes.
Okay, thank you, Congressman Potts. Go ahead.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Congressman Big Horse.
Yes, sir.
Yes, back when we come up, or when Congressman Potts was drafting this, I did believe it was a good idea, and I still do. But giving the science of what's going on right now, and I was back then where the pictures were painted a little bit rosier and the pandemic was supposed to be pretty much gone by now. And as I hope everybody knows, it's not. It's increasing. And that worries me. It worries me for how many more months this is going to go on. And the only problem I have with it now is the beginning date of when this would kick in. I don't want it to kick in and us be still in this COVID situation and with another possible shutdown. So I'm asking the author to extend this out possibly one more year before it would kick in. As far as the fulfillment date, I don't have any problem with that. Hopefully we can do that, but I do have some reservation about when this should kick in. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, this is Brandy.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Congressman Potts. I just wanted to visit shortly about a couple of things, well, maybe just one, really. I tend to agree with Congressman Big Horse, and it just like naturally with every piece of legislation, there's a lot of moving parts, and there's when there's dates in it, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit to, for me personally, to hash it out in my head, wrap my head around it, however you want to say. But I'm interested to know, I heard you say, and I read it, and but when you explained it, it was a lot easier for me to wrap my head around. I heard you say that the interest earned currently on the permanent fund will not be calculated and utilized with this piece of legislation to reach the $30 million. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so this leads me to my next question. My next question is that I had a chance to visit with the Scott Manzer, who is on the Oversight Investment Committee, and I visited with Second Speaker about having possibly, if we couldn't get them to come to a meeting at some point, she obliged gracefully to visit about what they have put in place recently with the permanent fund and the actual potential earnings that could be there, which I'm all about putting more than $30 million in there, because I would like to know, and I've asked this question already and I'm waiting for an answer, what the nation's burn rate is. We heard, you know, what the casino's burn rate is, you know, every month. And I'd like to know what our nation's, excluding the casino's, burn rate is every month. And we've been looking at financials, but I'm asking for a calculation to come from our Treasury Department. So, because, like I said, I've been a very, everybody knows I've been a proponent for, you know, fiduciary conservative spending and for, you know, preparing for what we went through with the shutdowns and having more money available in the fund. So if the investment committee hypothetically, you know, gets us on the right track on investing how we should be with this permanent fund and the ability to draw in more than just a few hundred thousand dollars over its lifetime, and I understand that your legislation would term out, but would you be interested in knowing, further discussing this particular piece of legislation along with the Oversight Investment Committee's information that we get? Because that's kind of where I want to go as far as replenishing the fund, because there's an opportunity that they could help replenish the fund. Oh, I'm so sorry. That's my phone. I apologize. Sorry, guys. I lost my train of thought. I guess I have to end there. I lost what my last part that I was trying to put together. I apologize.
Chairwoman.
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
If I can respond to that and then maybe let Congresswoman Lemon maybe collect a thought there. I'm not opposed to something like that, but the reasoning for the interest not counting toward the goal of getting us back to $30 million is that that money was already going to be self-generating in a sense, right? So if we had left the permanent fund at $30 million, the interest accrued in this five-year period without the appropriation would have taken it to, let's say optimistically, you know, 35 or 40 million. Well, by taking the $8 million out that we did, if we were to only rely on the interest to replenish the fund, essentially what you're doing is appropriating the interest out of the fund. It's the sticking the ball under the cap and moving the cups around. So that's the reasoning for this not counting with the interest. It's meant to be supplemental to the interest. So whatever would have gotten there by the interest is already there. But that's also the reason for this appropriation terminating once it gets us back to $30 million, which is where we were before the $8 million came out. Because once we get to the $8 million, then any increase in what the Investment Oversight Committee is able to earn us is doing what it was supposed to be doing in the first place. If we allow that interest to be the sole replenishing source, then we're just taking the interest and appropriating it. We're just not calling it that, but that's exactly what we're doing. So I don't know that I would be open to an amendment to, shift the burden on the Investment Oversight Committee to generate the replenishment to $30 million. But I absolutely would want to hear from the Treasurer and our Investment Oversight Committee. The reasoning they were instituted is to increase our return on what we're getting on the permanent fund, because I think at one point on a $30 million permanent fund, we were earning around $70,000 a year. I think it was $60,000-$70,000. Yes, I'm absolutely interested in the investment oversight report. I'd be happy to hear what we've earned already from the treasurer. Hopefully we've already seen some gains since instituting the investment oversight committee. I don't know, but I don't think that I would be supportive of interest only being the replenisher to get us to $30 million. Thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Brandy.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay. Congressman Potts, I wasn't suggesting an amendment. I'm just talking, thoughts out loud. I wasn't suggesting the interest only. I think I made it very clear when I said I believe that I'm all about putting money back in there and probably needing more than what we have in there because of our burn rate for the nation. So so if my comments earlier led you down that way or thinking, that wasn't my intention. And I do apologize. I just would like to have more depth information and more conversation along with the Oversight Investment Committee and the Treasurer concerning this piece of legislation. And it's not an attempt to try to amend your legislation. It's just the idea of getting it out there and talking about it extensively. Because I am for, putting a savings up. And I've said it many times. I have enough savings. I mean, personally, I learned something from being extremely poor. And feeling helpless. And so, and then turning to hopelessness, and somehow I found hope in despair eventually. And it was through, the strength of my family and things of that nature. But I also learned that I had to be able to survive and have enough money in the bank to be able to survive for 6 months to a year if something catastrophic happened. And so I'm a proponent for that type of savings. And so, like I said, I just would like further discussion, and I'm not ready to move on this piece of legislation until we have further discussion from the Treasurer and from the Oversight Investment Committee and just all the players that have to do with the permanent fund. Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I can respond.
Yes, go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate that, Congressman Lemon, and I too want those answers, but that's not germane to the bill because the bill doesn't account for that interest coming back in. So I would love and welcome that conversation. I think I've tried to have that conversation in the past, but it wouldn't be germane to this bill. So I would still encourage the committee to move on this so that we're able to plan now for fiscal year 2022 and how to replenish a fund that we have spent money on. So thank you, Madam Chair.
So, Second Speaker, this is Brandy again.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way, Mr. Potts, because I do feel that it is germane, and I'm not gonna get in an argument with you here on the air. It's a debate, it's how I feel, and I've said how I feel about it, and it doesn't mean that there couldn't be another piece of legislation that comes along later that's files to be able to do something similar. And
and or just put a large lump sum back in there, as you call it, as sticker shock. So anyways, that's how I feel as a member of this committee. And I would just like to, like I said, have further deliberations. Thank you.
Chair Rebord.
Yes, go ahead, Congress. Is that you, Congressman Tillman?
It is. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have, since we're talking about the permanent fund, I have a question for the treasurer. And I see Mr. Littleton has joined us, or he's on the call. Would it be okay if I ask him a question about the permanent fund?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Mr. Littleton, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Congressman.
Thank you. My question was ONCA 2034, a piece of legislation that we put out during the pandemic. The amount was $8.166 million. I was the sponsor, and I believe Congressman Big Horse was a co-sponsor along with, I think there were two or three others. And we talked in the bill, it talks about all the monies from this appropriation unspent. On September 1, 2020, shall revert back to the permanent fund for future appropriation. Can you provide us an update on any funds returned or an update on funds that have that we've spent?
Boy, you caught me off guard there. I'm trying to frantically look for that piece of legislation. I remember the amount, but I'm sorry, the $8.1 million, was that the PPP money?
No, that came right out of the permanent fund appropriated to the treasurer.
Okay.
For government operations expenses.
Okay, we pulled two amounts that totaled $9.5 million out of the permanent fund on July 24th, which were the two pieces of legislation that I remember. And we have used those in the general fund.
So my question was specifically to 2034 and the 8.166. I know there were two accompanying bills also that depleted. I believe it was the legislative fund for building. And another, I think, came from Congresswoman Lemon also. But I was just more interested in the 2034, the 8.166, if it has been used or if is there a balance remaining or?
Yeah, once we put it in the general fund, it became part of the general fund, and I'll have to go back and look and see, you know, what we really attributed to those funds. Like I said, I'm looking for that legislation to see what the restrictions were, but we've used that money to continue our operation.
Okay. The other question which accompanies this was ONCA 1963, which allowed for the 8.166 from ONCA 2034 to be utilized to cover the government operations. And then the treasurer shall submit to the principal chief and the Osage Nation Congress a report with the individual's expenditures listed each month that expenditures are dispersed out of the permanent fund. And I'm not aware that we have received such a report and how much was utilized to cover the government operations.
Yeah, I'll have to research that and see, update that report.
Okay. And just, Madam Chair, if I may.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. And just in the report, if we could just get, you know, the exact amounts, where they went, and the dates.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chair Rebord.
Thank you, Congressman Tillman. Are there any other comments from the committee or Congress?
Chairwoman Rebord.
Yes.
So just for clarity's sake, this bill would require us to have $30 million in their fund by fiscal year 2026. Is that correct?
Madam Chair.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It could be at least $30 million by 2026 right now. It could certainly be more than that with the interest that would accrue, the requirement to appropriate to the permanent fund would be, yes, exterminated as soon as it gets back to $30 million. So let's say projections from gaming, and let's say we start seeing a dividend being paid from the meat processing plant or the ranch or any of our LLC operations, any amount of that projected revenue that could get us back to the $30 million faster at 3.5%, that would take us out of that requirement at an earlier year, potentially, Congressman Keene. So it varies, but what this does is establish that plan to at least be back at $30 million by the 2026.
Thank you. I guess I'm a bit hesitant just because I think it's good in theory, but there's sometimes a term called an unknown unknown. So obviously 2020 was that. So sometimes, you know, what this bill tells me is that you're mandating that we do something that basically you're saying we don't have enough faith that we can just handle the nation's monies without being forced to put money in X fund. That's pretty much what it's saying, right? We haven't been good fiscal stewards so far, so we need this to replenish a permanent fund. Is that your take, Mr. Potts?
Essentially, yes, Congressman Keene. We've not ever appropriated money back to the permanent fund. So, yes, this would put a plan to get us back there. Now, again, this is a plan. So what's beneficial about doing this as a percentage of projected revenue is the plan is to be back there by 2026. If it takes longer than that, that's okay. Because the appropriation requirement terminates when it gets to $30 million, not in a given fiscal year. So if it takes us 30 years to get back to $30 million at 3.5% of projected revenue, that's how long it takes. But it's at least saying we're going to get back to $30 million, which I think was the goal of the legislation and the goal of Congress. So yes, it does set aside money annually to save, which is something we've never done.
Yeah, and I also plans without deadlines aren't plans at all. So
I do think
it's worth discussing further, but yeah, maybe in the interim, but that's pretty much all I got. But I agree, this bill, along with the one Congresswoman Stabler, also kind of puts fiscal constraints, but I'm definitely willing to have that conversation. So that's just what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman. I have a question real quick. Congressman Potts, where did you come up with the amount for the permanent fund replenishment threshold of 3.5%? Where did that percentage come from?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That is based off of the $46 million distribution from fiscal year 2021. It's a hypothetical. So when we wrote the piece of legislation at $46 million strictly from gaming at 3.5%, that's $1.6 million a year. In the 5 years that it would take to get from fiscal year 2021 to 2025 at the time we wrote it, now it's till 26. That 5 year time period times the $1.6 million would be $8,050,000. So it's almost a perfect mathematical equivalent to replenish the $8.1 million that was taken out during the HUNCA session.
Yeah, you're not speaking. Can you please mute your phone? Okay, so I guess I was actually saying, where did the 3.5%, why that percentage?
So, Madam Chair, it's the mathematical equivalent to the what it would take to get us to 8 million in 5 years based on $46 million distribution. So the 3.5 okay. is equal to the 1.6 million. And then when you multiply that by five, that's what gets you to the 8,050,000.
So it's kind of being driven by the number of years.
Well, at the time, but it also speaks to if we get more than that, the 3.5% would get you to the 50 or 30 million faster, which would trigger the termination requirement of this bill. Or if funds are appropriated to the permanent fund outside of the permanent fund replenishment threshold, it would also terminate the appropriation requirement.
Mr. Littleton, could you please mute your device?
Okay, thank you, Congressman Potts. Are there any other questions or comments?
Madam Chair.
To Congressman Potts? Yes, go ahead.
Well, this is not necessarily a question, but I'm not opposed to some type of plan to replenish the fund. I'm thankful that those that came before this Congress had the foresight to create the permanent fund. And I think it's, my goodness, it's a good thing we had it. So I'm definitely interested in making sure that we do that. And I don't believe, though, that at this time I could support it. And the reason is because, going back to what Congressman Bighorst stated, we still don't know, because again, just as he said, we thought that we would be, the pandemic would be over by this time. We don't know what 2021 holds for us, and I would hate to see us put ourselves in a position to where we can't fulfill this type of obligation. But I can tell you that, of course, like most of you, I'm definitely interested in making sure that we replenish the fund. It's not that. It's just that I still feel like we're in a situation to where we don't know what next year holds. So I would be interested in this plan at some point, but I think that we need to wait until we have more information and kind of see where we are next time. So those are my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Shaw. Go ahead, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to make an amendment at page 1, line 16, strike 2026 and insert 2027. Page 1, line 37, strike 2021 and insert 2022.
Okay, so we have, so you're making amendments to your bill that will require so you're making a motion? Is that what you're doing?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, also before we go on, I'm sorry, I don't know how this works, but there's also some other amendments you might want to make in some of the spelling if you want to. Do you want me to list those out real quick, or so we can have one?
That could be dealt with in person as well.
Correct. That would be a Scribner's error.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry, guys. Be patient with me. Okay. We have a motion and do we have a second?
Can I have the motion repeated? Was it Congressman Potts' motion?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Congressman Potts. Please repeat the motion.
I heard it. I got distracted. I heard it.
Okay, is there a second to the motion? Okay, the motion dies for a lack of a second.
Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Brandy. I make a motion to postpone ONCA 20.
46 to the call of the chair.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say yes.
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 Okay, thank you. The next item on our agenda is item number 11, ONCA 2056, an act to require political contributions made on behalf of the Osage Nation to be funded, administered, and awarded by the Political Contributions Committee. The sponsor of this bill is Congressman Potts. So I'll allow Congressman Potts to have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this bill is pretty straightforward in the findings and purpose. So I'll just read right through those. On December 6th of 2016, the Osage Nation, at the direction of the Principal Chief, contributed $2,700 to the Committee for a New Missouri, Inc., the dark money nonprofit set up for to help pay for Governor Eric Greitens' 2016 inauguration. In December 15 of 2016, the Osage Nation, at the discretion of the Principal Chief, contributed $50,000 to the Committee for a New Missouri, Inc., the dark money nonprofit group set up to help pay for Governor Eric Greitens' 2016 inauguration. On June 1, 2018, Governor Eric Greitens of Missouri resigned his position in state government after facing a felony charge and possible impeachment amid an investigation of claims that he tried to dodge the state's campaign disclosure laws and to blackmail a former lover. On January 1st, 2015, the Osage Nation contributed $5,000 to the Committee for the Inauguration of Governor Mary Fallon, 2015, the committee to support the inauguration of Governor Mary Fallon. On December 27th of 2018, Osage Casinos, at the discretion of Osage Nation Gaming Enterprise Board, sponsored $25,000 to the Oklahoma Turnaround Fund, the committee to support the inauguration and transition of Oklahoma Governor-elect Kevin Stitt. On July 5th, 2019, the Osage Nation received a letter from Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt stating that the gaming compact with the state of Oklahoma will terminate on January 1, 2020, a position that appears to be held only by Governor Kevin Stitt. The Oklahoma Ethics Commission has recorded contributions made on behalf of the Osage Nation under the following titles from 2015 to 2020. The Osage Nation, Osage Nation, Osage Nation Tribal, Osage Nation General Fund Tribal, Osage Nation General Fund, Osage Nation Executive Branch, Osage Nation, Osage Nation, Osage Nation Office of the Principal Chiefs, or sorry, Office of the Chiefs, and Osage Casino. The Osage Nation finds that contributions and sponsorships made on behalf of the nation lacked consistency and efficiency with regard to the amount and desired outcomes, that perhaps more transparency and deliberation may be more productive to the cause of advancing the interests of the Osage Nation. So to speak more directly to some of the findings here, we see contributions of $52,700 to the governor of Missouri, only to later be, you know, charged with a felony for blackmail with a former lover. Then we see an inconsistency in Oklahoma's governor's contributions, where we only contributed $5,000 to Governor Mary Fallon, and then we see $25,000 to Governor Kevin Stitt. So the way contributions, and Congressman Big Horse can also speak to this, I believe, the way contributions are recorded is with the Oklahoma Ethics Commission. And anytime somebody makes a contribution, it's attributed in their, it's called the Guardian system, the Oklahoma Guardian system. It's attributed to the contributor. And when I was looking through this, because I look through political contributions on a frequent basis, there's a big discrepancy in how our contributions are reported. And that's in Section G of this bill. Our contributions from the nation, from the same bank account, are recorded on behalf of the Osage Nation. These are verbatim from the Guardian system. Osage Nation, Osage Nation Tribal, Osage Nation General Fund to Tribal, Osage Nation General Fund, Osage Nation Executive Branch, Osage Nation, Osage Nation, Osage Nation Office of the Chiefs, and Osage Casino. So what this bill would do is make it clear that all contributions for political purposes come from the Osage Nation. There's no questions asked. If money is given as a political contribution, it comes from the Osage Nation. So this bill would clear that up as well. What this bill does is it defines what a political contribution is. It attempts to get a handle on some of the sponsorship versus donation language. It establishes a committee to review these, and a committee that in no way is meant to take executive prerogative or power. There are two equal members from the legislative branch, two equal members from the executive branch, and then a third appointee from the executive branch. So all controlling interest of the political contributions committee would be controlled by the executive branch, but it would be exactly for the purpose of transparency and deliberation to hopefully provide some direction and a little bit more thought into how we give political contributions.
Okay. Good, Congressman Potts. I wanted to, is there any other comments from the committee? I'm sorry, we were going to recess at noon. It's now 11:51. Are there any other comments from the committee?
I'd make a motion to recess now and just come back at one. That's okay with the committee.
Okay.
Okay, there's a motion to recess. Do we have a second?
I second it.
Okay, thank you. So we have a motion and a second to recess until 1 p.m. All those in favor, say yes.
No. Yes.
Is there discussion?
Yes, discussion.
There was only one section of the bill that I would like to cover through the introduction. So.
Okay, we can revisit it at 1 o'clock, Congressman Potts. Okay, we're recessed until 1 p.m. Thank you, committee.
There was no vote recorded.
Oh, sorry. All those in favor say yes.
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 Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Muted. I mean, I hate to say it, but sometimes it's
okay, sorry guys. I thought I said all those in favor.
You did, and they all said yes, but you didn't say the vote count.
Like, record it. Okay, gotcha.
He kind of interrupted it.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. I was just like, Clark, jump in.
Yeah, but he just wanted to point that out. I've been in and out of there about a half a dozen times today already. You don't like it, do you?